Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Built Bars are excellent for a quick source of protein. And they satisfy cravings for sweets. Absolutely delicious. The coconut brownie or cookies and cream? So good. Candy bar taste? Healthy for your body. Lots of delicious flavors to choose from. Go to built.com and use code R5INSIDER. That's R5INSIDER for 10% off your order. Built Bar. Truly the champions among protein bars.
Mottos, moments, and Michigan State in the top 10. Join us as I squeal with joy and we break down week 7 of the NCAA season.
Welcome back, everyone, to the R5 College Salute, where we give you everything you need to know about our Region 5 alums so you can sleep well at night. That's Kim, and I'm Jason, and it's week 7 of the NCAA season, but it was more like the Big 5, and we'll break down the highlights from Big 10's Part 1 at Elevate the Stage. Tough to watch all the beauty when you have the beasts there at NIU. I was there, more on that. We had a 10 this week, but not from an alum, but a level 10. The dogs at MSU gotta eat, and chips are want, work, and win. Well, close this weekend. A cool throwback to 1988, and hello, check this vault out from SUNY. That and more, but first we need to thank our podcast sponsor, TumbleTrack.
TumbleTrack, more reps, less stress. Twist, turn, and tumble longer and stronger with TumbleTrack. Train smart. Thank you to TumbleTrack for your continued support of the College Salute podcast and the Region 5 Insider.
We have, our Fab 5, and as we always mention, the Fab 5 do not have to be Region 5 related. Number one was an absolutely beautiful double front from Penn State's Bella Sausalito, I believe how you say it, at the Big Fives. It was really, really cool to see an interesting and new pass. I mean, I know we see Brooklyn Moores, although she doesn't do it anymore. She's doing front double full front tuck now. She's taken out her double front. But this was a very nice pass. You brought attention to it when you were watching Big Fives this week.
Yeah, I actually only saw it really because I remembered that she had a fun floor routine, super good dance in the warm-up. And I was like, she was up last. I'm like, oh, I got to, you know, remember to watch her. And then all of a sudden she pulled out a double front. Completely surprised me because I didn't see it warmed up or whatever. But, yeah, it came out of nowhere, and she landed it super well. And, she had a great floor routine as well. So, great tumbling, super high, super bouncy.
I find it funny, though, right before she prepares to do the double front, if you notice, she almost falls out of bounds. She kind of sideways, kind of lost her step as she turned and almost fell off the floor. That was kind of funny, but very nice double front. Talk about a nice vault. I know you put in big letters, hello. I'm sure everyone now around the country have seen SUNY Lee's new half-on front layout off on vault. Wow.
Well, and she's the first person in NCAA to perform this vault, I read, so that's pretty cool as well. But, yeah, this vault is incredible. It's just amazing, these elite athletes that are, going into college and just trying new things, trying new vaults, or bringing back old vaults that they used to do. But this vault is just simply incredible, and just the power that she gets to flip in a layout position like that is, like, it's just insane.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, it feels like it looks, I guess I shouldn't say feel because I don't do the vault, but it looks like it like never is going to come down, or like it takes forever for her to get to the floor in that position. I don't know what it is about that like arch position in that front layout vault, but it's impressive. It's very blind Thank God she knows when to bend her knees, because that vault can be scary. But because it's a full layout. It's not like the Arabian layouts where you might twist a little past vertical and, you know, it's easier to make. It's a full front layout vault, and like a handspring front layout vault. And obviously blind, very blind to land. So she knows when to bend to land that. But exciting. It was really cool to see that.
I always love to see, like, some sort of front layout vault, you know, flipping vault, like Vanessa Adler used to do one and somebody else a long time ago. But it's such a weird position to block off your hands and then flip forward in a layout. Like, when you do, obviously, pikes and tucks, you bend and put your chest up and all that. But a layout, you're just kind of like, you know, holding that. It's just weird. It's so cool, though.
It's very like similar to Jake Dalton's Arabian double layout front. I don't know if you remember watching that ever, but he used to do double layouts, Arabian double layouts, in his floor routine. And it was always a cool, because they just, like I said, and I think actually Paul Ruggieri also did an Arabian double front laid out too. And it was just, it seemed like it just took forever to finish, because in that position, just looks so stretched. But awesome vault for Suni. Who knows, maybe we'll see her start twisting it too, because, you know, it's Suni Lee.
Great. I was
checking out Twitter last night, and this video from 1988, Melissa Miller. It's so cool. She does this like tick. Well, first of all, it's a Tinsica handspring. It's not even a handspring. It's like a cartwheelish Tinsica handspring thing. But then she does a full twisting front handspring, or full twisting front walkover, into some type of jump spin thing, and then she like rolls to her shoulder. I can't remember, but just weird. It's cool, and it's like very like 1980-ish type like cool stuff. But I don't know. I thought this was really interesting to see.
I had to watch it like 12 times because I literally did not know what was happening. Like, just so much stuff happened, and the GIF that I sent you back of like the guy like, huh? That's how I felt the entire time. I was trying to figure out what the first thing she was doing. I'm like, are you doing a cartwheel, a round off, a front handspring? I'm like, what are you doing? It was super cool, and I feel like somebody should try it and send a video.
And I think it's on Inside Gymnastics on Twitter, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But it's cool. It kind of reminds me of, you know, those who know history and of gymnastics, and Oksana Ulyamchik, where she used to do that round off one and a half twisting dive roll. But this one is literally a full twisting front walkover, or a full twisting front handspring, depending on how you... It is just really strange. But check it out. Melissa Miller, I think, it's on Inside Gymnastics Twitter. And it's just really cool. It stuck out. I was like, wow, what the heck is that? And I sent it to Kim, and I said, we have to talk about this. But one dismount we definitely have to talk about is Kaylee Bryant from Stanford. Beautiful. Two back handsprings, double back. We have talked about this before, so it's not new. But that stick, wow.
It was literally lawn dart to the mat. It was so good. Like, she just goes up and just boom, doesn't move her feet. She holds that stick position. It's just incredible. It's just incredible.
It's an awesome dismount. And it just impresses me that she's like, this is like Courtney Kupetz. Courtney Kupetz did this dismount for, I think, 3 of her 4 years of college, or 2.5, because in 1 year she didn't finish. But, and then she went to the gainer full at the end after she tore Achilles in college again. But she competed two back handsprings to double back. We don't see this very often in college, and that may be one of the only times we have, but she does it so well. I mean, it's beautiful. Good form, huge double back, chest is up for the most part, landing and stuck cold. I mean, it was absolutely gorgeous routine. She's having it. Like we talked about, I think we talked about week one or week two, how just awesome year she's having. And it was just great to see that dismount. And then this... This is the best. We've talked many times over the course of the season so far about the teams interacting with the athlete on the floor. This takes the prize, I think.
Absolutely. When you sent this to me, oh my God, this literally is the best one. The team like hooks up, connects together, and does the little like hitting the sky fist bump thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about from the TikTok, but the entire team does it like together. And did you go and watch like her actual floor routine? Because there's another part that she comes out of a tumbling pass and like she's running like running across the floor, and her teammate is running across the floor like on the side like next to her. This routine, that part was so good. And you know what? Her entire routine is actually really good. She does some really awesome tumbling. I actually watched the tumbling in hers.
Yeah, you have to. For huge front to double back. It's very nice. Yeah. Very nice routine.
And straddle jump. Rudy to straddle jump. That's just like many L Sharns high.
But you have to check this routine out. It's Destiny Waltley. Waltley?
I believe
from Alaska. Correct? It's Alaska?
Sac State?
Okay, sorry, Sac State. I know that it was the meet that they were all in, because it seems like a Sac State and Alaska, they compete against each other like every weekend, it seems like.
This was the meet. It was on Monday.
Got it. Okay, so yeah, check her out from Sac State. I don't remember whose Instagram or Twitter that was on when I saw it, but
it was on Janae.
Yeah, from a former UCLA gymnast, does commentating a little sometimes for UCLA. It was on her Twitter. Yeah. Check it out. It's awesome.
If you go to her Twitter, you can find the floor routine or balance beam situation, the live stream, the free from the Boise BYU meet, Stanford meet.
Got it. Yeah, no, it's cool. It's really funny. I mean, I'm really not sure why I necessarily made myself click on it. I can't remember if the thumbnail was interesting looking or what it was that I clicked on it, but I'm glad I did, because that was so good. So good. Good team support there.
I'm glad you clicked on it too, because I don't usually frequent the Twittersphere. So
there you go. And we, of course, have six, because Kim does the Fab Five most of the time. And you have BYU TV.
Yeah, oh my God. So, do you know BYU has its, like, own TV channel? And I have AT&T UVer, so I get the BYU TV channel. I was just scrolling through one day looking for gymnastics, like, SEC gymnastics, like, Friday night. But then all of a sudden, BYU is on the TV. I'm like, huh. And they have a BYU TV channel. And you know what? BYU does really good with their sports coverage. I just wanted to, like, put that on there and throw that out there. Like, great job, BYU.
Yeah, it's cool that they have their own TV station. We probably have to check that out. We do have an alum at BYU who does Beam all the time.
She does.
We'll have to check that out. I don't think I get that, though. So Kim will have to do the play-by-play of BYU TV.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, like, set the DVR now that I know BYU has a TV channel. It's fantastic.
Well, we just got through with the Olympics, and of course, wins and losses with sports like hockey and some of those other sports, ball sports, of course, football, basketball, everything is win or loss related. This week's Kara's Kickover, Olivia has questions. Win or losses, are they important? Should they matter? Seeding for championships? Here is Olivia with more on this week's Kara's Kickover.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to Karis Kickover. My name is Olivia Karis, former University of Michigan Wolverine and current NCAA gym fanatic. This week, I want to talk about wins and losses in the regular season. We all know when postseason comes around, championships, regionals, obviously nationals, wins and losses are extremely important. But in the regular season, it doesn't seem to be as big of a deal. The only conference that I know for a fact that uses regular season wins and losses is the Big Ten. In the Big Ten, your wins and loss record matters going into seeding for championships. Four teams in the evening session, six in the morning. You know you want to be in that evening session with no buys at prime time. But I'd love to know what your thoughts are about regular season wins and losses as it pertains to either in-conference or out-of-conference competitions that are big time. Top 10 matchup, if someone, both teams go high 197s, maybe break into the 198 mark, but someone wins and the other loses, what's the big deal? Would love to hear your thoughts, chat about wins and losses in the NCAA as we get closer to the coveted postseason.
Well, thanks, Liv, for your thoughts, definitely on the wins and losses. And, you know, my personal feeling is, I honestly, it doesn't really, I mean, when it comes to like SECs or Big Tens, I mean, obviously that's the way they seed for their sessions. But if you don't have a championship meet and you're basing your season on your six scores to get to regionals, then win losses really don't matter. It may matter for like, you know, pride for the conference or pride for the school, or, you know, I know Big Ten, Michigan always values Big Ten championships. That's why the women's program is like one of the, and the men's, you know, were before for a while, but praised at Michigan because the Michigan women win Big Tens every year, or for most part. But I mean, I don't know your thoughts. I mean, I, you know, it's not a ball sport. It's a different sport. It's based on scores anyway. So,
well, obviously, if you pay attention to the scores, you're going to know who wins and loses. But I mean, does it really matter in the grand scheme of things? Like, if certain teams beat certain teams, like, yeah, as you said, maybe for like school reputation or like, you know, the rival teams that go against each other or the, you know, the teams in the same state or whatever. But what truly matters is, you know, your RQS score or like whatever, you know, the score to qualify to stuff. So, I mean, does it matter? Yes and no. I think it just depends on the circumstance and, you know, what meet it might be. Because, like, I know some teams are going to go against each other that just, yes, obviously, like this, like if Michigan goes against William & Mary, then yeah, obviously Michigan's winning. So, but William & Mary might get their highest score they've ever had in their program. And, you know, that's great for them. They don't care that they lost to Michigan. They just care about, you know, their score or their record breaking score or whatever. So yeah, I don't really think wins losses truly matters until you get to, like, you know, championship.
Look, right, we're killing it because you got to win. I mean, like I said, six of one, half a dozen another. The only thing I think that it does pay attention to are, again, the conferences that have a championship. And I think most of them do. But the ones that award regular season champion, that one has to have season because the score doesn't really necessarily matter in that sense. It is how many wins and losses you've had in your conference of the teams you've gone against. And I know that, you know, the Big Ten does that. And they have the regular season champion, which we're going to come to find out in very few seconds here, is, of course, Michigan. Because...
But doesn't SEC has regular season, too.
Correct. Champion. And I think they do the same thing. They don't have the same situation as the the Big Ten does. The Big Ten uses the Big Five meet to prepare or to get themselves into the seating for... the Big Ten championship competition, and we're going to talk about why they do that in a minute. But SEC does not do that. They strictly use theirs based on the rankings of the teams in the SEC come, you know, SEC championship. The top four make I think it's four. Maybe it's five. I can't remember how SEC does it. If they do also four in the night session and then all the rest. How many teams are in the SEC? Eight? Are there eight or are there nine?
I have no idea.
I can't remember right now. Yeah, but I do know that they do that for like the evening session and the afternoon session. And I know like John Roethlisberger or Alicia or whoever's the commentator tends to say that at the end of the year. Well, you know, they're working. They have to get a certain score to jump a team to get into that night session. So that's how the SEC does it.
Okay. So how we have Big Fives. Does the SEC do something like Big Fives? Like, the SEC has a Elevate the Stage meet too. Like, do they use that meet in the same way that it's used in up here?
No, that's usually only a two team meet also. That's not, you know, Big Five is the, I mean, that's, we're the Big Five, our Big Ten is the only conference that does this particular kind of competition. And this is why, you know, we're getting into our discussion and of the Big Five. The reason for this competition is because the way the Big Ten is set up, the Big Ten, they don't go against half the teams in the conference. And so during the season, and to make sure you have a regular season champion, you obviously have to compete against all the teams to give a ranking to who's the regular season champion. So the Big Five, when you compete with the Big Five, those four other schools are schools that you did not go against at all or will go against during the regular season. So that's where you go against them. And that's why they have the Big Five. They don't have that in any other conference. So that's what makes the Big Five special. They get a podium meet. It's like the Big Ten in February, only weeks before the actual Big Ten championship. But this is the way for teams to get the other schools in the Big Ten that they don't compete against during the regular season to compete against, so we can have a regular season champion. And that's what the Big Five conference is, or the Big Five with Elevate the Stage is all about. It's really cool for the Big Ten teams. You know, it's really, you know, a cool like championship feel meet in February.
Yeah, it kind of just gets them ready for, you know, what they're going to be competing at later on, and just up on podium, and gets them against each other, which is kind of cool. And I think it's a great environment. It's a great facility. So it's a fun meet.
Yeah. And of course the Elevate the Stage has a level 10s on podium, which gives them experience, but then they also get to see some very good college gymnastics, which many of course are trying to make these Big Ten teams, you know, eventually through their recruiting. So, but break down the Big Five meet. Kim actually was on hand for Big Five's day two, and she's going to have lots of comments specifically for her MSU Spartans, which apparently is now her new team. But Michigan won this meet 197-95. MSU second 196-975. They won session two. And then Ohio State 196-9. Interesting that Ohio State beat out Minnesota. Minnesota did not have the best competition overall, you know, for them, which they've been putting up 197s. They went 196-5 and actually finished fifth. So it was very interesting. And again, I don't know how they for sure seed, if, you know, from this competition, if they base it off of this completely, or if they use this with the rankings and do it that way. I'm not 100% sure how this works. I just know this meet is for the opportunity for everyone to compete against each other at least once.
Well, it's interesting though, like in the top five of that meet, you know, three of the five came from the afternoon session.
Ohio State was very impressive, and we have quite a few performances we're going to talk about, some 9-9s from some of our alums. They finished second to Michigan in session one, which was impressive. I was a little bit surprised with Iowa. I expected a little more from them because they've looked good over the course of the year, but they had a few miscues in the competition down in the lower half of this competition. But you were there. You got to see day two. Just talk just a little bit about the atmosphere and what that meet was like. I mean, that's like, again, as we mentioned, it's unlike any other conference that has a meet like this. Kind of cool.
The atmosphere was just amazing. Like, everybody was loud and cheering. The music was great. The teams were so hyped up. Literally, after every landing, there's just erupting in big cheers. What I really love to see, though, is the parent sections for the schools, and they're all in their little like section pods, and you know, the dads have their striped checkered pants on with their flags, and the parents, I love watching gymnastics parents. They are so funny, and just, they get so into it, and sometimes it's better than like watching the ball sports, but you know, the parents are just all about it. But the dads are my favorite. Gymnastics dads are literally the greatest people to watch, because they just are all out, invested, and have on the outfits. It's so fun. But in terms of the gymnastics, it was just a great meet to be at. The atmosphere was just so great, so hype. It was so much fun, and it just makes you look forward to Big Tens even more, because all these teams together, and it just seems like everybody is just over the top this year, and it's just so much fun.
Well, we had some highlights from the competition, of course, but I know one floor teen that stood out for you, and I know you talked to her too with an interview, was Caitlin Higgins at Nebraska. And I know you mentioned this routine and sent it to me for me to watch. 9-9, you know, it was an impressive routine. Of course, it didn't maybe draw to me as it drew to you, but I can understand why. I mean, the tumbling was very nice, but I know you have lots of thoughts to the actual routine itself.
Yeah, because I, even though I was right there, I literally was pretty much on top of the floor, because I was sitting like in the corner kind of. I don't know what she tumbled. I couldn't even tell you, and she was coming at me for one of those passes. But her routine, just from beginning to end, and she talks about it in the interview I did with her a little bit about how this routine kind of, you know, it had a secret. It's like she has a secret, and I definitely could feel that. Like, you, there was a story behind this routine for sure. My favorite part is, though, she was in the corner getting ready for the last tumbling pass, and I had the camera. I'm taking pictures, but I felt like she was staring into my soul, like, on that last tumbling pass, like, right before it, but also I was zoomed in, but I feel like she's, like, staring into my soul. I was like, I felt like I was the only one in the room type of thing, you know, like, from, like, the teen movies back in the day. And then she comes towards me, tumbles towards me, and, you know, does her pass, whatever it was, something front, landing frontwards, and finishes this routine. And she, like, breaks her own neck in the routine, like, the choreography, not in real life. But it was crazy. It's like, she has this secret, and then she, like, does one of these, like, you know, when you go to kill someone, you're like that. And she does this like, neck thing to a it was just such a great routine. And it's the details in this routine that did it for me, the little details. She performs this routine with her face, with her eyes especially. Just, it's a great, great performance. I was so drawn in. I literally felt like I was the only one in that arena at watching this routine, because she just kind of shot into your soul. It was crazy.
Well, she does an absolutely beautiful front double full for her first pass, for those of you who are interested in the tumbling aspect. And then, yes, she does the last pass, a 1.5 to a front layout. She does have a Rudy in there as well, but 1.5 front layout, and then drops to that, you know, break your neck type ending. But
neck breaking choreography.
But the story that you mentioned is obviously very interesting. And here is Caitlin on her description of the story behind a routine.
So last year I had a completely different routine, and I really liked the theme of it, like redemption, having something to prove, coming to a new school and just like being myself and being really powerful. So that's really the inspiration behind the team and making my last year the best year. And it's like a secret, like I'm gonna spill my secret to you in my floor team. Being a senior and being a leader on that team just makes me so proud and hopeful for the upcoming season and the rest of season. It really hasn't hit me yet. I would say a little bit tonight that I'm a senior, but I don't know, it's just overwhelming, not really hitting yet, but I'm really proud of my team.
She's talking in her interview that you just heard about, you know, it's her senior year and it's her senior season and all this stuff, and how, you know, the season's been and how college has been going. And it's so funny because in the background, the song Time of My Life from Dirty Dancing was playing. So I just thought that was a funny, ironic coincidence of, you know, she's talking about these great moments and, you know, that it's her senior year and this song is in the background.
Well, it's funny, we'll hear from Ashley Hoffich a little bit as well, and that interview, also the music behind, fits her interview. So Kim kind of did the interviews, I guess, at the right time of what they were speaking, because the music background fit the interview quite well. Well, jumping from Higgins on floor to the Michigan State quad, quote, so to speak, we have, of course, Gabby, Ashley, Delaney, and Skyla. 9-9 plus on floor. Again, all different types of choreography / performance, you know, what stands out each and every one of them. But Gabby Steven, let's just talk as a whole. I mean, first time in this situation, I'm not sure if she's been on a podium before. I don't know if she's competed. I know she didn't do Nastia Cup, but I don't know if they ever at Mega went to a meet that had a podium, if they had been to... I'm not really sure if they have, now that I think about it. So that could have been her first podium competition. Awesome job as an all-around performance. But obviously 9-9 on beam and 9-9 on floor, you know, 9-9 on beam especially. That's exciting to see, because she's been so good on beam, but you never know when you get into these type of situations, because they didn't have the best beam a few routines before. Actually, Skyla fell on beam. So the couple, you know, shaky routines as a freshman up on a podium, first big meet like this, it was good to see that Gabby could, you know, put it together 9-9 for that event as well.
You know, I continue to be impressed with Gabby so much. And as I talked about with her during her interview that she gave with me, she literally, this is her element, and she just keeps excelling. This is the environment that she just belongs in. She stands out. It's just the place for her. And I I can't say enough great things about this athlete. Her beam, so good. That front toss layout, 2 feet aerial thing, so good. She did have a slight wobble in the routine, but I mean, to still go 9.9 with that slight wobble was, it's just so good. She's just so good, and she's so calm and cool and collected while she's competing. It's just so fun to watch her. And, you know, she had mentioned to me that, you know, she just is having a lot of confidence in herself. And, you know, she had mentioned to me that Mike Rowe, the head coach, even said to her that, you know, she surprises herself. Like, every day she just surprises herself and is like, I can do that. I can do that. You know, and she talks a little bit more about in the interview. So
I think just the team and the coaches, especially, just different perspectives, ways of doing things, and confidence in myself and like my ability to do stuff. A lot of the time, Mike said this, but I was like, it's kind of true. I was like, a lot of the time I'm surprising myself. Oh, I can do that. So just confidence and building confidence with reps and a bunch of that. I think a lot of the upperclassmen, credit to them and the coaches too, just have worked a lot. They've seen it, they've gone through it, and they're working on fostering such a great environment for us freshmen to come into. We came into something amazing, and we're just trying to add to it how we can. So it was really good to come into with knowing I'm with people who want to work on it. Amazing to be a part of. We came in knowing exactly what we could do. We knew we could get this win in our session, so it was amazing to put into work. And yes, as Nicole always said, we already put in the work, we already know what to do, so it's just about like locking in and focusing and doing what we know we can do.
Had mentioned Skyla a minute ago, saying that she did have a fall off balance beam, unfortunately, but I don't know if you caught this. She didn't do a double back. She took her double back out. She did aerial full off beam this week. I thought that was very interesting. I don't know if it was because she fell and that's their backup to make sure she hits a solid routine or a solid dismount, or if she just pulled it out before that or decided not to do it. I don't know, but she did aerial full this week. But a beautiful floor routine, 9.9. And again, another situation where I felt that she went into another level of like expression, and I don't know. It just, this one was different. It's the same routine, same choreography, same way she does it. But to me, it seemed different than the other ones we've seen. I don't know why that would be, but to me, I love this routine. I actually really do love this routine on Skyla.
You know, the best place to watch these floor routines is whatever side the teammates are on, and that's what I did at this meet. So I got to see all the fantastic facial expressions in these routines, and you literally, in the one part, Skyla kind of does this, like, model melt. It's the Tyra Banks model melt for anybody who's watched America's Next Top Model. You know, hide the waist. But she literally rolls her eyes in it, and you can see that, like, to have such a performance and play such a character in your routine that you are rolling your eyes and the choreography has eye rolling in it is flipping fantastic. Like, the little details that all these MSU routines have are incredible. Alina Cartwright, as I said it again, you're doing your thing. Oh my God. But Skyla's routine just kind of like, she is the queen. Like, it just goes to another level. I kind of feel like she salutes and just how Beyonce has Sasha Fierce. Like, Skyla, I need to know, what is your stage name? Like, do you have one? Do you have a stage personality that you're stepping into? All the questions I need to ask at the next meet that I attend. But every routine, every floor routine is just so good. Delaney's routine, the facials that she was putting off in hers, it's so good. Just wait till you see the photos. So good.
Yeah, Delaney, another 9.9 on floor. You know, we've mentioned many times with the new return of the full in, and it's just really exciting to see 9.9, of course, for Delaney. But another the routine that is the, I think, is the star of the entire rotation on floor. And it's not because she's, you know, doing the most difficult tumbling, because, of course, she doesn't do a full in or, you know, a big front double full. She just does huge double backs and sticks them almost every time, is Ashley Hulfish. And this routine, Like I said, we've talked about facial expressions. You've talked about facial expressions. I love how much energy she has and how much just that she really loves. And the interview is like really shows her commitment and her energy and her excitement for this team this year. And it was just really cool to hear. I'm glad we got an interview with her because it just really cool to hear her thoughts, because she's been on both sides, as you've mentioned, of like the COVID years per se for MSU, and just the differences this team is versus back then. And it's just really exciting to watch. And I love watching Ashley on floor. I just do.
Absolutely. And you know, when she first started her floor routine, the music was messed up or something. So she had to like get up and, you know, go back to the side and then get back on. But the little detail that she has in her routine at the beginning, she kind of starts with her hands by her face and like does this thing with her fingers, like closes them. But it's just the little details of like the eyes or giving the look to the teammates or whatever. But she knows how to work the floor, a crowd, the team, the judge, like so incredible. And her routine, as you said, like, her tumbling may not have the full ins or, you know, the big, huge passes, but her performance quality and just her landings, her endings is just incredible. She is the perfect person to anchor this floor rotation because she literally, as I've said, she's the one. She is so consistent, especially with that double back. She's just like every time, boom, boom. You know, and she's just so consistent that she's such a great leader. She's such a great, you know, anchor for this team. And they ended on floor, which made it even better that, you know, you close the meet with, you know, four spectacular floor routines. And more than that, because let's Sydney Ewing, I want to give props to her. She's the leadoff and her floor routine is spectacular as well. But just, yeah, this floor rotation is just amazing. I don't have enough adjectives to describe my love for MSU, except for the fact that I think I need a help group. Hi, my name's Kim. I'm addicted to MSU gymnastics.
Hi, Kim. But before we move on, we definitely have to hear from Ashley. And why don't you intro, just talk a little bit about kind of what we're going to see with Ashley's interview and kind of the background with the music in terms of what she's saying.
So Ashley is talking about her teammates and her team and how their chemistry is and how they're just together with each other all the time and just, you know, the inner workings of them as a team. And I just thought it was funny because the Friends theme song is playing in the background, which is so appropriate for her interview. So
the chemistry of this team is amazing. You know, we have all come together and formed a culture that, you know, is the same form of success that we all strive for, and we just bond so well together. We all want the same thing. We all motivate each other. We push each other, and we've taken these baby steps every day to just get better and better and better, and this team is hungry for more. You know, our motto this year is dogs gotta eat. We are always hungry. We always, you know, strive to chop and get it done. And, you know, outside of the gym, we just get along so well together, and that just helps in everything in the gym, too. Our choreography this year, Alina's amazing. You know, she has amazing choreography. It makes our routine so much fun, and going out there last and just doing what I know how to do so well is an amazing feeling.
Well, one more major thing for Michigan State. I feel like this is the Michigan State section of the podcast, but they posted this, and I think it's something that we definitely have to mention.
Michigan breaking state, number 10 in the rankings. Yes. And guess what, Michigan State? I am wearing my Erase Hate shirt for you today for this podcast that I got because I wanted one. I love this shirt, but oh my God. Could they go to NCAAs? Could you imagine? I'm so excited. It's just obnoxious these days.
Awesome performance to Michigan State. Really quick, I came into the broadcast on Flow when they were on bars, and I thought that was our first event. Come to find out it was Vault. So I missed Vault completely. But I came into bars, and I'm like, ooh, they're juiced because they were like, Skyla does a double layout, like bounces back, and she didn't hit a couple of handstands. I'm like, oh, they need to settle it down a little bit. But they definitely came through in the end, especially on floor, to finish second in the competition. But that was really good. Cool to see. And like again, they're just continuing to, you know, just impress each and every meet, each and every weekend. We do have a few OSU, Ohio State alums that we want to talk about, and I call them the 9-9 trio. Reyna's vault. This vault was huge, and if you listen to the video on Flow, you hear the landing, and it's like this big vault, and all of a sudden, boom, and she nails it. And it was just the way that it sounded. It was like the arena happened to be quiet at the time, and she literally rocked the landing, and then the crowd and the Ohio State team obviously jumped for joy and, like, you know, threw, you know, the cheers through the roof. And it was just cool. But that just that moment of like silence, because there's nothing going on at the time when Reyna's vaulting. And then just this huge Yurchenko full, that beautiful stuck landing. And then, of course, the good old college salute after. And then on beam, they had two of our alums had 9-9s on beam. JoJo Warga and Sydney Jennings, which was really cool to see. I love JoJo's start to a routine because, like, she salutes the judge and she's facing the beam. And she, like, stays there for a couple seconds, breathes, you know, whatever. And then she, like, very, like, with an attitude, dramatic turn, arm, and then mounts. And it's just, I don't know if that's just her way of, like, kind of selling herself. You know how, like, Anastasia Webb would put her hand on her heart and kind of, is this her way of, like, saying, okay, I'm ready, I'm going to do it, I'm solid, and now go. It stood out. It was really, really cool.
I love how she works beam. She works beam like she works floor, just with so much performance and presence. It's great to watch. I just love a good, like, beam performance, and she has great toe point also.
And then Sydney Jennings. I mean, we know Sydney for her vaults. Her vaults are huge. We've been asking for a 1.5 for, like, no, years now, but, you know, beautiful Yurchenko full, and she actually had a nice Yurchenko full in this competition as well. However, her balance beam 9-9, her back handspring aerial cartwheel is just cool. I mean, it's not like we've never seen it before. She did that in club. We've talked about it, but I don't know. It's so nice, and it amazes me how, like, this one was so fluid, like back handspring step in aerial cartwheel. Like, it wasn't like one of those, will I, won't I, you know, the whole front aerial back handspring stuff. I don't know. I just think it's really cool. And she had, you know, great performance, very solid and just aggressive in that beam routine the whole way through.
She's a taller athlete, and so everything she does is just gorgeous, especially that dismount. Love. She has gainer, cartwheel gainer full off the side. But I just love her. I just love her presence too. So chin up, great performance. Beautiful arms, beautiful legs. It's because she's taller. I love watching taller athletes on beam and bars especially too. But I just love it. And hopefully, and maybe one day she'll do a full and a half. I don't know. Can you just do it into a pit and show me a video? That's all I need to help me sleep at night. I need to know that you can do this.
We know how our Region 5 alums are doing or what we want them to do, and we can sleep well at night knowing that. So, see, Kim's right on. Of course, our dynamic duo at Michigan put up 9-9s as they do. Sierra and Gabby, 9-9s on bars and 9-9-5 on floor. And then Gabby, that was Sierra, and then Gabby, 9-9-7-5 on vault. I wanted to mention, we've talked about it several times where she steps off the side or she doesn't necessarily absorb. She did have a relative, like, deep squat. I want to say deep squat. She did bend more in terms of landing than a normal. But what I liked is she absorbed the floor, so there wasn't a lot of movement after. I mean, there was no movement after at all. But I think she got a little bit of deduction because she was a little deeper squat than, you know, or just a normal landing. But we've mentioned, like I said before, of just kind of the awkwardness of either step to the side or big hop forward, and she absorbed, especially on a podium, which tends to bounce you. And I thought that was exciting to see that she, you know, was ready for the ground and was able to absorb for a 9-9-7-5. And she also got a 9-9-7-5 on floor. But, of course, you know, you can't have a 10 every time, I guess, you know. And then 9-9-2-5 on bars as well.
Yeah, David Yellen was telling me that Gabby's floor routine that first day was just so incredible, especially like being down on the floor. He said it was just awesome.
And then Q, of course, another 9-9-5. I didn't watch this floor routine with the actual music. I didn't see their floor. I saw a couple other rotations, but not their floor. But I watched it again with no music because Flo doesn't put music on their replay their videos that they put up. They don't put floor music on. But one thing I wanted to mention is I love how, and I don't know if I've just really ever noticed, or maybe the camera wasn't the best place to do that, but she has two specific teammates that do two specific things at the beginning of her routine. And when she does that, like when she puts her hands on her knees and she like kind of circles, semi-circles around, her teammate does that. And then she has something else before she first passes. Her other teammate does that. And I think that's kind of cool. And I don't know if that's just to get Q to kind of come out of her shell a little bit and, you know, really get after it. It's easier for her to do that to them or what it is. But again, beautiful tumbling, a little bit over on her full in. I think she may have had maybe a 10 in this, possibly, or 9.975, because that's a Q score. And then, you know, nice front to double back. But I just thought that was interesting. And of course, all the other parts that the whole team does in the routine. But just to see those two standouts, one does one thing, one does the other as she does it, was kind of cool.
So one last highlight from the Big Five meet, I got to take a picture with the Spartan shield, and it is heavy, let me tell you that, for number one. So I would say, you know, I was like, hey, Whitney, take my picture, blah, blah. And so she is, and I was just like holding it at first, and Nicole and Mike were there. Nicole comes over and she's like, come on, you gotta do something better than that. Alina would just be so disappointed. And I was like, okay. So I like strapped that shield on and took many photos, 3 out of 5. But the shield is so cool. I guess they got it from Amazon. Like, you can get your own Spartan shield right on Amazon. It's heavy, too. It's not light.
Also, I like the fact that Kim is in their team shot. She's in their team photo.
Yeah, so I actually, it's funny, thought I was out of the way of that picture. And I saw it on one of the parents' Facebook pages, either the Lebsters or the Jory Jackard's mom. But I was like, oh, my God. I am, like, in the background in a bright red shirt, and it's the one I like sitting down. And so then I was looking on somebody else's Mike Rose Facebook, and there I am again in the background, but I was like in the background, but like the first picture just looking all awkward standing there, and the second picture I'm sitting down, and I was like, why didn't somebody tell me I was in your picture? Like, I would have, you know, moved. And, you know, he's like, no, we wanted you in it. I'm like, okay, well, next time you're going to take a picture, like, let me know, and I'll give a little hip and a hair flip and make it a little better for you in my bright red shirt. So that was kind of fun. I'm part of the team.
Many consider strength and flexibility to be the cornerstone for proper, safe skill progressions. TumbleTrack has a selection of tools to make physical preparation more effective and fun to do. From ropes to weights to sliders and more, TumbleTrack has a plethora of fun, safe equipment for either the gym or home to keep your future NCAA champion fit, flexible, and strong for the postseason and beyond. If you want to check out more efficient and effective TumbleTrack training tools, head over to their website, www.tumbletrack.com. That's TumbleTrack.com, and order yours today.
Moving to the NIU meet, which I was able to attend, and this was a Beauty and the Beast. I did not know it was going to be Beauty and the Beast until I, of course, walked into the arena, because it doesn't mention it, and I had seen this poster before. Great for the audience. I mean, awesome for the audience, because it made it bigger and loud and fun. Bad for viewing gymnastics, at least at NIU. Unless you are one that likes to like run around the arena, follow a certain team, like our Palmer's gymnasts did. They followed Western Michigan to follow Peyton everywhere that she went. They moved, stood up, sat back down, stood up. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But unless that was happening, I was focused in the middle. I liked where I was sitting. I'm going to talk about some of the floor, but I couldn't really see bars very well, and I could barely see vault, because there was like a bunch of wrestling things and like some other stuff, and a big scoreboard thing that tells you when you're, you know, and you couldn't even see vault. You could see them flip over it. So half the vaults I missed. So, you know, again, not the best, but an awesome environment, very loud and really cool. To start, we have this awkward poster. And it was funny because Kim saw this picture of Meet Day on Instagram or Twitter or wherever it was that she saw, and she sent it to me, and I said, oh, the poster is the same. There, they have a guy, a wrestler holding the gymnast up, but it clearly is done via Photoshop. Not that it was done this way. And it just the whole poster is actually the one for the wrestling Beauty and the Beast is all Photoshopped in. You can just tell. But it's just really, really weird.
And honestly, if it was not Photoshopped, then it's even more awkward because this wrestler is like holding her up in the most awkward way. And she's like, but how, I don't know. Go look at it there because I can't. It's so weird. Like, why does he have to hold her?
I don't know.
What's the point of that?
I don't know.
Like, I think it would be more fun to have like them doing a gymnastics thing and them doing a wrestling thing and like mold that together, or like in a wrestling stance and the gymnast like in a handstand, or I don't know, something. You could have done way better with
or
this
you know, a nice college salute and then the wrestling stance.
Wrestling, yeah, exactly. Or the wrestling move and like a gymnast doing a handstand on top of the wrestler. I don't know. But anything would have been better than awkward holding of the girl.
Yeah, I thought the same thing when I saw the poster, because I didn't see this thing you sent me until after the meet. But the posters were laying there, and I saw them like, oh my God, this is weird. Interesting look. But there were 1,200 fans in the Convocation Center, NIU, and I don't know if that's their largest or where that ranks, but it was loud and it was exciting. There was a lot of energy. I think that it shook the arena too much, so most of the athletes had trouble staying on beam. Lots of falls. Western Michigan started on beam, and I think their first three kids fell. Katie Kowalski led off Western Michigan, and very solid routine. I think she got 9.8 first up, and then Peyton hit the last routine, but every other routine in Peyton Murphy, that is, and every other routine in the middle, I think it either had a major wobble or a fall or what have you. But it was crazy. I think they were just shaking, but all the teams, even Iowa State, who had the best beam of all, had some issues, but everybody had problems on beam. So I think the arena was too loud, was shaking the arena floor or something, but no one was staying on the beam. I sat right in front of floor, and I thought it was I didn't realize that it would be the coolest experience. I've seen floor. It's not like I've never been to a meet. Oh my God, my first meet. No, of course I see meets all the time. Plus, I've been to college meets. I've been to Northern meets. This situation, I don't know what it was, but it was just really cool to see. Of course, I couldn't tell you what dance. There was no dance. They all did boys' routines. They did the man wipes. There was no gymnast. There was no dance. There's no music. It was just tumbling. Just so everyone knows, there was no dance in this competition. Kim was not there, so dance didn't exist. But anyway, up close, like almost on the floor, like the kids from Palmer's were like coming down the stairs and like going in front. I'm like, guys, get back. You're literally on the floor almost. I mean, you could literally salute and step on the floor. They were so close. But to see Maddie Diab's front double full, front layout in person, right in front of my eyes, jaw drop. Absolutely beautiful.
She's
I mean,
so floaty. Like I saw a video of it. And she literally is so floaty in her tumbling.
It's awesome. I can't remember if she did this pass in JO. Just to see it live, and we've talked about how good it is to see it on the stream, but to see it live, so good. Jaw drop. Absolutely awesome. And then her Rudy layout step out. I took a video and put it up on our Instagram story. Huge floaty layout step out. I mean, it was just exciting. She went 9.9. She went 9.95 on Friday night. She went 9.9 here. But, just really, really cool. Beautiful pike full in from Rachel Wilkie from Iowa State. Absolutely gorgeous pike full in. And that was right, the corner right at me. Was really nice. And then we didn't see it because she doesn't do it, but Andrea Maldonado, I think it's Maldonado, she's the originator of the front triple full. And she did a beautiful double full front tuck, which was absolutely gorgeous. And that was the other corner that was in my side of the floor, got to see. So that was really cool. And she has a sister on the team as well. As I said, Beam was not the friend to many in this meet, except for maybe the all-around champion, Brooklyn Sears. Let's just talk Brooklyn real fast. We haven't spoken much about her this year. I've had her up a couple times on Alumni Monday. I don't know if we've really even mentioned her much in the podcast. We've mentioned Alashari. We've mentioned, you know, a few others. Natalie Hamp, who had, another beautiful bar routine, by the way, this weekend. She was on fire on Sunday. One solid beam performance, one of the actual solid beam performances of the meet. You can see that beam routine on Alumni Monday this week. Beautiful full out, rocked the landing. Big college, nice college salute, 9-9. Huge double backs on floor. I mean, just an awesome competition. And I do have a quick story. She told me I got to talk to her a little bit after the meet. Not an interview as Kim did, but I was just talking to people, pulling some info out or whatever. And Brooklyn told me in preseason, she was doing her half in, half out off bars, and she punched herself in the eye. And in the process of flipping and broke her occipital bone around her eye. And so she was out for quite a bit. And so she had not been, because I was wondering, I know she hasn't done many all-arounds, but I thought this was her first. I was wrong. She's done two. But she just recently, you know, got back in the lineup slowly but surely after, I think, week two. And she's been building back and back up. But yeah, in the fall, she punched herself in the eye. So that was interesting on her dismount. But
I can only imagine how that day went. Like, you're going to do your dismount. You go to crank that twist. Because doesn't she, like, do a
full out? Yeah.
Yeah. Crank that twist. And
yep.
Like, oh my God. Totally been there before. Totally sympathize. Didn't break my eye, but totally can sympathize.
Yeah. I need myself in the mouth on a half and half out once we're learning, knocked a couple braces off. I had to go fix, but never punched myself in the eye. But she had a great day. I mean, obviously the all around champion at 39.375. Talk about all around. And though it's not as big a deal in the regular season as it is maybe at NCAAs, we had three alums in the top three. Brooklyn, of course, as I mentioned, won. Peyton Murphy, who's floor, by the way, should have been a 9.9. It was a 9.875, and I believe, or maybe, it was a 9.85. Should have been a 9.9. But successfully competed her blind full to toe front, and it was absolutely beautiful. Her best one was in warm-up, of course, because it always is. Hit blind full, perfect vertical, and then toe front half. But this one was very nice, and she was excited about that because that's been bothering her and just frustrating her that she couldn't connect it. But she was second with a 39.35. And then Hannah Demirs, she should have won this meet. But again, as she had she got to bow to the judges. She really felt that she needed to bow to the judges. I can't remember what it was on. I was talking to Kim before we started recording, if it was front aerial or an aerial. I can't remember, but she like dumped forward, grabbed, tried to fight it. She went like 9.5, 2.5 or something like that, but went 9.9 plus on the other three events for 39.275. But it was just cool when they announced at the end the all-around champions, and they say Hannah Demirs and Peyton Murphy and then Brooklyn Sears, and you know, all three are Region 5 alums, so that was really cool. We mentioned Hannah Demirs a minute ago and reactions to her floor routine up close. I said was the most exciting part of this meet.
Yeah, let me tell you, I was going and looking for a leotard photo from their last meet before this one, and have stumbled across the galleries, and I've also looked at a few photos that her mom puts on Facebook. Oh my God, there is not a photo. There's not like a photo of her just smiling or saluting or, you know, just in her beam routine or whatever. I mean, there's maybe like one, but the rest of the photos of her are her excitement photos. And it's just like, she's mouth is just open. It's like, ah! It's always like that. And it's so great. It's so funny, though. I'm just like, every photo is just excitement just all over her face. And I actually had put it in like an intro, the intro last week or whatever. I took it out because we didn't talk about it. But I'm so glad we're talking about her facial expressions this week, because just every single one, you can, her excitement is definitely all over her face. It's fantastic. She's so excited all the time. I love it.
I don't feel like we've gotten good camera angles of Hannah's floor routines this year. I feel like we've watched a lot of meets with her, and the routines are just, you don't get what you, I mean, you should out of Hannah's routines, but when you watch it live, and I, like, again, I was right up in front, and her facial expressions, the way she just performs routines, she's excited when she lands tumbling passes well, she's excited when she leaves the floor, she's excited when her teammates land a pass, she's just excited. It's just the, from start to finish, Hannah is excited about gymnastics. Unfortunately, you can't watch this meet because this meet was not filmed. Spire was in the house, a bunch of their level 10s, where they were sitting behind me. They were cheering on Cassie St. Clair from Western and Elena Anderson at NIU. They were loud. They were into it. They were really excited, and especially when those two obviously competed. Both have two passes in their routine. Cassie ends with a front double full. Elena begins with a front double full. Both very nice. What I understand, Elena has a, we've talked about it, but I got to see it again up close and personal. Textbook whip half Rudy. So nice. Beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous whip half Rudy. 9-9 on floor. And then you need to check out, I know I sent it to Kim, you need to check out Cassie's. After her first pass, she does some dance and the team is into her dance, whatever, back on the sideline. And then she does what would be a full twisting Shushanova on bars, but she does it in her floor choreography. There you go, Kim. I noticed floor choreography. But
I'm so proud of you, but you only noticed it because it's a bar skill.
Exactly. It was related to bars, so I noticed it. But it's the coolest thing. It's cool.
When you texted and you sent that to me, you're like, it's something about Shushanova. I was like, yeah, that's like a thing on floor. Like, that's an actual thing. But then you're like, then I watched it, and then you put the, she took it from bars, because I was like, what? I was really confused, because I'm like, it's a Shushanova? Like, okay, great. I'm just doing a Shushanova. But no, it's, you only noticed it because it's the bar.
Right. She paces forward, and then you know how a Shushanova, it's not really a full, it's like a half turn, push off, straddle over, half turn. You know, and it's exactly how she does it on the floor. She like does a half turn to one arm and pushes and lands in like a pancake. But it's really cool. I mean, it was a really fun section of the choreography that stands out and makes her different.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. And I, you know, she actually, her whole floor routine is cool. I like her floor routine. I've always liked her floor routines.
You have to check out Annie Hammond's blindfold Tkachev, an absolutely beautiful Tkachev. It's in this week's Alumni Monday, so you can check that out and see her routine. Nice full out that she immediately went into a college salute. I couldn't tell if it was a stick or she did a hop back because of all the wrestlers were standing in front of her. Again, not the best position I was in to watch bars or see the whole bar routine, but beautiful routine. And again, check that out on Alumni Monday. And you can check out Alumni Monday every week. Some highlighted routines that may not make our podcast, but we definitely want to highlight them. And it's every week we select 10 routines that stood out from the week, and we put them together in a post, and you can check more of our alums are doing each and every week in the NCAA week to week. That is on top of what we talk about in our podcast. So check that out, Alumni Monday. Central Michigan's assistant coach, Don Holton. Now, he's a former coach at IGI, Region 5 coach. His shirt, it reminds me of that Leo that you like of the Chips, that one that they have with the fire. And I know this is recently new shirt. I think he told me he wore it last week as well. And he texted me, he goes, are you going to be there this weekend? And I said, yes. And he goes, I'm wearing my shirt.
Yeah, I saw it at the last meet. And let me tell you, it was posted that, hey, everybody like Don's new meat shirt. It was fantastic. I just think it's great. It fits right in with the whole theme. And I hope the girls wear that Leo soon and he wears his shirt. And it's just fantastic.
Central Michigan also has their stick chain. And we've talked about this WWW. And it stands for their motto this year. We want, we work, we win. It's just all encompasses of what means to a season. You know, you want something, a goal, you work hard for it, and hopefully based on that work, you know, you win from it, and regardless of what the win means. And so I think that's really, really, you know, a cool motto. And they also break huddles with like fire up chips dubs, and meaning like, you know, the three W's, but referring to that. But I think that's just cool. And I like the fact that they use their stick thing with a motto, not necessarily just an object or something that resembles or represents sticking or whatever. They have something that represents their season. But that thing is huge. Like I said, I wish I could put it on and see how heavy it is, because it looked pretty heavy. We do have some unfortunate news from the NIU meet. Abby Singh from Western Michigan, one of the twins, tore her Achilles in warmups. My twins love Abby and Gigi. They've watched them, you know, they would go to training with me at Phenom when I would go film. They would get to go and watch and hang out, and they'd always sit and watch Abby and Gigi, and they would talk to them. And Abby and Gigi are so nice and would always come up and, you know, want to know what the twins are doing and what have you. They wanted to watch. They were excited. Gigi got to exhibition B and did a phenomenal job. And then Mac, one of my twins, asked, where's Abby? Abby does compete. I said, well, I know Abby does vault. They haven't gotten there yet. And I heard she possibly does bars, but or doing bars, but we'll see. We'll see. And then all of a sudden I saw Abby sitting in a chair with her leg up in a boot. And at the time I didn't know what happened, but after the meet, I talked to the coaches as well as Jess and Marco were there. And come to find out she tore Achilles. So we just want to wish her well and a quick rehab, and hopefully, you know, see her back strong next year. Sad that we've lost another to an Achilles tendon in 2022. Couple more 9-9s that we wanted to mention from the 9-9 notebook. Kai Rivers got a 9-9 on vault on Friday night. She did not compete Sunday, and for those who may have wondered or worried, she was just resting. I did talk to her, and she's hopefully, you know, cross your fingers, everything's good for the week, because you never know in college gymnastics, but let's hope, knock on wood, everything, she's fine. She'll be back competing this coming weekend.
Well, you know, it's so funny because people, you know, they'll be at some meets, they won't be at some meets, and we instantly are like, where are they? What's happening? What's going on? But, you know, they need to rest sometimes, and that's okay.
Yes, she's been doing 3 events. You know, it's hard on her.
Yeah.
You know, bars for the first time this year. That joke will continue all season.
All season.
Maddie Welgora, 9925 on beam. I think that's maybe, what, 5 of the year this year? Nine nines on beam?
It's like every time except the time she fell.
She's rocking it on beam. Helen Hugh, 9.95 on beam. Excited to see if she's in bar lineup. We saw some videos of her Maloney pack recently on Instagram. Maybe that means she's going to be back in the bar lineup soon. That'd be exciting. Mackie, 9.9 on vault.
Obviously, it was very good. She does a full and a half, we know. But her landing, pretty good. I couldn't tell if she had a slight hop or if it was like one of those salute hops, but it was a great vault.
Megan Teeter, 9.925 on floor. As we record this podcast, I've not seen this video yet. She was supposed to send it to us. I didn't get a chance to look at it and see it. But again, we've talked about that she's upgraded this year to a front layout Rudy in her first pass, which is huge. But I have not had the opportunity to see this routine. So unfortunately, we can't necessarily talk about it. But 9.925, nice job, Megan. Natalie Hamp. Another beautiful bar routine. I put up her blindfold double layout. You know, it's the best dismount out there. So cool. Awesome. Nice to Kachev at the beginning of routine. A 9-9. Solid performance for NIU to close the NIU bar lineup. Our Hunts trio that are Kent State gymnasts. 9-9s on the floor this week, too.
Yeah, they literally are killing it in the 9-9 on floor department. All 3 of them. So fantastic. And I saw Carly Franz. She did her double Arabian this meet, I believe, because she had taken it out at one point, or she like did something else, but so it's back. It was good.
Yeah, we'll see if it stays. I don't know if that's going to stay in or not, because then she on Sunday did not have a very good floor routine. So I noticed the score was 9-1. I did not see what happened. So I didn't know until you said she did a double Arabian. I didn't realize maybe that she did do it and fell, but because she was doing the Rudy layout step out in the double back last pass. So I wish we could see Kent State live. I'd like to see their floor routines live, but unfortunately, we would not have that opportunity.
Every time I watch their floor routines, I can never see them. Whatever.
Right. That's the worst. Like they always have some, you know, of those. Well, they're live streams have way too many graphics. There's way too much going on a Kent State live stream. Andy Lee, 9.925 on bars from Monday's competition. Gabby Perea did compete again, 9.85 on bars. I noticed that, so Gabby's still in the lineup. We have some senior athletes that are alums that have been nominated for the AAI Heisman Trophy of Gymnastics, the 2022 AAI Award.
We do. How exciting. Rachel Borden from Illinois, and Anna Kaziska from SEMO, Colby Miller from Ohio State, and Leah Clapper from Florida.
all have done a great job in their college careers. And especially, you know, you look at Rachel Borden coming on from a team manager to making the team to being a regular on Bars and Beam every single meet. So, you know, that's really, really cool. We do have a couple Drive to Five things to mention. Next week, we'll have a little bit bigger segment here with the Region 5 Insider Classic. We'll have updates and recaps on how that went and just a few more things I'd like to talk about that I've seen. But one we've mentioned in the intro, a perfect 10. And Eurostars Nikki Smith, who ironically will be a future MSU Spartan coming up next year. But she got a 10 on vault at the Presidential Classic in Florida. Awesome vault.
It was absolutely gorgeous. Great block, great landing, great shape. It's so exciting.
She will take her talents to the Nastia Cup this weekend, and she will join a tie of a record. We have 9 Region 5 athletes, level 10s, competing at Nastia this weekend, coming up Friday. We set that record back in 2017. The first time that we had 9 athletes qualify. We just wanted to wish good luck to Hannah. I'm only going to do first names right now, but Hannah, Faith, Bailey, Lucy, Nikki, Izzy, Kayla or Michaela, Clancy, and Carly as they compete at the Nastia Cup. I will have a pre-meet highlight video for them on Thursday. You can check that out on Thursday. And then we will do a post-meet wrap-up of the competition, both in blog form, and then we will have some highlights recaps on our podcast in our Drive to Five next week about that too. So you can check that out. 2 junior national team members from Region 5 will be competing this weekend at the Winter Cup, which is part of the event that Nastia is part of, the Winter Cup. Good luck to Cincinnati's Ella Kate Parker and Gym Extreme's Gabby Van Freyen. But good luck to Ella Kate and Gabby this weekend at Winter Cup. And for we'll have more on our level 10s on next week's show. And like I said, a recap of the Region 5 Insider Classic, which we will have live coverage of both the Level 9 sessions on Friday and the Level 10 session on Saturday. I will be posting the times and schedules on that later on this week on our IG and Facebook, so check that out so you know. We will have lots of video content, and we have some TikTok plans for this meet if we hopefully will make them work. So check all that out and stay tuned to the 3rd annual Region 5 Insider Classic, which is really exciting, and we're looking forward to another great year at the meet. But again, back to our alums. You can check out all of our content and stay up to date with our alums. Check out r5college_podcast on IG and our r5college podcast on YouTube. This is where you will find all of our Region 5 alum content, our podcast links, podcast pictures, meet pictures, meet videos. You know, Kim goes crazy on live streaming at meets. Our videos that go up for Alumni Monday are on our YouTube channel. Everything and anything you need, you want to know, alums related, Region 5 alums, check those two things out. Again, r5college_podcast on IG and r5college_podcast on YouTube. You can also help support the podcast by becoming an Insider Podcast patron for as little as $1 per month. Your support will help us with all of the behind-the-scenes work that is done to produce our podcast as well as our media content. If you want to help us out for 1 month or be a yearly patron, click on the link on our podcast page or our website in our show notes, or go to www.patreon.com/Region5 Gym Insider and select the support tier that fits your budget. Help us to continue to grow and provide more gymnastics content for everyone to enjoy. And one side note there, all our live streams that we do are free, but of course the time and energy and equipment and stuff that it takes to do our live streams obviously, you know, takes some support. So if you happen to check out our live streams and you know, would like to help us out, even though this is more related to our podcast, it does go and help that as well. So check that out, patreon.com/Region5 Gym Insider. And now we have the section of our podcast where we give some awards. And Kim's favorite, Toe Point President. Week 7, Toe Point President nominees.
Yeah, definitely week 7. Crazy. And this is actually a light week for Toe Point. I was busy doing other things. So on this week's Toe Point President nominee list, JoJo Warga from Ohio State, Joy Jackard from MSU, Alyssa Guns from Kent State, and Gianna Gerdes from Minnesota.
And I'm sure you have some Leos this week.
I do have some Leos this week, and I will be putting those Leos on TikTok like I have been. However, I do want to make one quick mention of Pitt's Leo this week. Pitt always has great Leos, but this one was just hands down my favorite. Go check it out. It's on their Instagram. I cannot do it justice in describing it, but it's my favorite. So go to Pitt's Instagram and look at it.
Okay, I'll throw one out there too. The Michigan Leo. I loved it. Absolutely beautiful out there.
Gotta get it. Wow, you're paying attention to a lot of new things this week.
I know, seriously.
Choreography, Leos.
Yep, but every week we pay attention to 5 specific things in routines or that deal with the performance in each and every competition, and that would be the Built Bar Best 5 of the Week, and Built Bar has their Built Boost, which is all natural, all good, with 100% of their daily vitamins, or your daily vitamins. During these times, boosting your immune system is critical, and Built Boost can provide that defense, and they taste really good. Go to built.com and get 10% off your order every time with code R5INSIDER. And our Built Bar Best 5 of the Week, our best handstand. I gave this award to Annie Hammond's final handstand on bars. Annie, of course, is a CMU gymnast and absolutely gorgeous locked out handstand. A couple others were a little short. Routine was nice. But that last handstand before her dismount, absolutely big and right to vertical. And then, you know, before her nice full out dismount and the big college salute, roar, cheer, everything else. So best handstand this week, Annie Hammond. Best performance. Most people are not going to be too surprised.
Yeah, I clearly am that transparent these days because, as you all probably have guessed it, yes, the best performance is MSU. Winning session 2, finishing second behind U of M, and because they made it top 10. Go MSU.
Best stick, and I feel like there's so many each week that we like, oh, that was a good stick. Oh, that was a good stick. Oh, that was a good stick. But this one was rather solid.
I had this stick written down like, you know, the moment it happened and it was not changing. And that is Kai Rivers on bars. It was literally perfect. Like, rocked the landing. Beautiful.
This next athlete we haven't talked about in the last few weeks. We did talk a couple of weeks ago, maybe week 2 or 3, but best post-routine celebration.
This goes to Kyla Podges from Texas Women's University. Her beam routine, she ended, she saluted, she stuck the landing, also big college salute, but it was just with the amount of excitement she leapt and jumped up into the air. And every time somebody does it, I think they're gonna like come down and fall down, you know, on accident, trip on a mat. But oh my god, it was just so wonderful. And she literally got so much height in the air, she was so excited. So it just stuck out to me.
And then the best college salute I have to give to Caitlin Grimes at Ohio State for her vault landing and her very good attempt. I put Caitlin Grimes for the effort of her arch back college salute. She really tried to arch that back. And you could tell she was working for that arch back. But it was a nice vault. Your chinkle full. I stuck, you know, I think, you know, close to it, if not, you know, a stuck landing, but just a beautiful attempt at a nice arched back college salute. So I'm going with Caitlin Grimes, college salute, best for week 7.
I do think she did stick that vault, and I think that's why she attempted the back-breaking college salute, which was fantastic.
Yeah, we say back-breaking college salute. So Caitlin Grimes, back-breaking college salute of week 7. Well, flipping forward, must watch this week. And as you understand, we have got a lot going on this weekend. We have the, obviously our meet, and then we have the two elite meet, or the elite meet and the Nastia meet. So there's going to be a lot to go about. But Friday night, Ball State at NIU. I'm very interested. I wish I could watch this meet. I'm interested between these two teams because I think they're very well matched. And I'd be interested to see how that one goes. And then OU Florida. That will be fun to watch. I'd like to just, you know, check out OU Florida and see kind of that meet. Saturday, MSU OSU. MSU Ohio State. That's going to be a good one to see. And then Sunday, Kent State at Central. That'll be another one. And we'll get to maybe see better because Central does a decent job. It's usually dark, but they do a decent job in their streams. We'll get to see hopefully Kent State's Florida teams a little bit better. But
yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, but again, you know, we also will have, you know, our other coverage, our Region 5 level 10s. We have to focus on our elites as well this week. There's just a lot to do, so we'll definitely have lots for you on the podcast next week.
Help more people find our podcast by rating and reviewing us on Apple and Google Podcasts or wherever you listen to the Region 5 Insider Podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to email us at region5insider@gmail.com. Thanks again to all of our Patreon sponsors, followers, and subscribers. We could not do all of this without your support. Follow us on all of our social media accounts, especially our new R5College_podcast page on IG for the most up-to-date information on what's going on in Region 5.
Thanks again for joining us on our salute to Region 5 alums in Week 7 of NCAA action. Make sure you check out all of our coverage of the Region 5 Insider Classic this weekend, our socials, all on Instagram, YouTube and Facebook for most of it, TikTok as well. And we'll have lots of coverage from there and recaps next week, as well as Nastia and the Winter Cup recaps. We'll talk to you next week with all the Week 8 action and continue our spine-breaking coverage of our Region 5 alums. Talk soon, and remember, we are Region 5.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger. Because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.